By now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're sorry. Wrong. Okay. When this first got started, I was 55 years old, had 3 successful businesses, did everything my own way, and didn't think I needed anybody, anything, or sometimes I even excluded my wife. But she had been after me several times to come to church, and we always met in the bathroom on Sunday morning. She was getting ready for church, and I was getting ready to go play golf. And I played golf a lot at that time. Well, after about 5 or 6 months of her bugging me, I got a phone call for one of my businesses. I owned a tree service at the time, and I went out and ran this estimate, and lo and behold, it was her pastor. And we were talking, and he says, "Hey, when are you ever going to come to church?" And I said, "Well, I've thought about it." I kind of blew him off a little bit. And I said, "Well, look at me. I wear a hat. I have blue jeans, tennis shoes." He says, "That's okay. We'll accept you for what you are." So later on, about 3 months, it was Christmas time, and I came to church and to celebrate Christmas. I did go occasionally to do that, but he came walking all the way from the other end of the church to shake my hand in front of the concourse and says, "Steve, I knew you would make it." Well, my first thing out of my mouth was, "Well, I'm glad that you thought I would be here, because I sure didn't." And so I got to going to church, and the very next week I came to church the very next week, and the pastor said, "Turn to Romans 8:1. I hadn't picked up a Bible in 40 years, and guess what? I opened up the Bible, there it was, Romans 8:1. Looking around the room thinking, somebody looking over my shoulder here or something, and kind of took it with a grain of salt, but it made an impact on me. And the next week, I came back the next week, and he said, "Turn to 2 Corinthians 1-10. Well, guess what? Opened up the Bible again, there it was. And I thought, well, maybe there's something more to this than what I'm thinking, because that was the least of my worries at that time, because I was running 3 businesses, busy all the time on the golf course when I had a minute. And I noticed that a lot of the people had came up and started talking to me because they knew my wife, and I thought, man, these people are kind of friendly. I don't really deserve to be talked to this friendly, because I just wasn't used to that, being in the business world and all that. It's dollar eat dollar and go after the buck. So finally I said, you know, maybe I'll start going with her once in a while. It took about 6 months, and then I decided to join the church. It's not that I felt like an impending desire, but I felt, you know, maybe there is something to this. So I joined the church, and that was in the middle of the season, and I kept going a little bit, and there was a fellow named Jerry Cass who took me aside one day, and he said, "Steve, we have a Bible study on Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's my only day off. How can I get up at 7 o'clock? But he held me accountable. It was some journey material we have at the church, and it was a 36-week program. And the first couple of weeks, I hem-hawed around and did the little workbook thing and thought, okay, we'll keep going. I don't want to disappoint him. You know, he held me accountable. And pretty soon I started looking, and these things started to make a little bit of sense. And so I followed that way for about 25 weeks or so. And then all of a sudden our pastor came up to us on Easter, and he said, "Steve, I would like to hear your testimony." Well, I really didn't think I had too much of a testimony, but we did it on Easter Day, 2 services, and he got me to talking, and some buddies of mine from Oklahoma City came up, and we were talking about our old days of fishing and bowling and doing all these things. And then I came down off of the pulpit and was walking back through the crowd, and a couple of ladies grabbed me, and they said, "Steve, could you get my husband to come off the golf course and play?" And I thought, little old me have an impact on somebody? I thought, nah, this can't be happening. And I thought, well, sure, I'll talk to him. Well, I started talking to him and stuff, and next thing you know, people were saying, you know, this guy looks kind of weird. He's wearing a ball cap, and they had trouble adjusting to it, and I'd wear short pants and just look like normal. But a few of them started talking to me, and they kind of looked at me like they really wanted to help me, but I decided at that time, you know, maybe the Lord wants me to do something. And about 2 weeks after this, I'll never forget it, it was probably the most important change and thing that ever had happened in my life. We came home after church, and I was changing my clothes in the bedroom, and the light was shining through the window. It looked like rays of sun, rays from Christ. And I got down on my knees, and I said, "Father, I know that I've blown you off for 50 years. I've joined the church. We're getting ready to join a small group. But I said, I cannot do this anymore without you." It was like a series of progressions. He had to keep showing me over and over and over that he really did have his hooks in me, and I was just fighting it the whole time. And after that day, I prayed and prayed and said, Father, just show me the way that I can be more Christ-like, that I can do the things that you have set aside for me, and I do believe in you. And the Holy Spirit guided me to start reading. I started reading books. I started reading the Bible, saturating my mind and my heart and my soul with the works of the Lord Jesus Christ and the will that he had set aside for me. Well, the next thing you know, in our small group, after we joined one, our small group leader had gone to another church, and there was about 12 of us in there, and they said, Steve, would you like to lead the group? Well, at this time, I'd only been a Christian maybe a year and a half, and I took that personally. I said, there's people in here that have been around you a lot longer than me, Christ, and would you show me the way to help learn and teach and learn myself and pass this on to others and keep this as a group motivation type thing? Well, it went off like a rocket, and the people said, Steve, man, we're really enjoying what you're teaching us here, because you put some thought into this, and it just isn't a hum-ho deal. We come down, eat snacks, drink pop, and go home. And I thought, I kind of like this teaching stuff. So I studied and studied, and I follow John MacArthur a lot. And John MacArthur has showed me the way that Christ does not like lukewarm Christians, that he likes to have your whole being. And I said, another time I came to the Lord and said, I'm maybe not doing enough. Can you want to show me some more? Well, the next thing you know, I was teaching a little bit of Sunday school and leading our group, and we're going places and stuff like that. And I met another pastor down here in Hayesville, and just by accident, because in one of my businesses, I do pest control, and he was there one day, and we started talking. And his church was kind of in the doldrums, you know, pastors get tired. And I decided that the Lord wanted me to befriend him. And he taught me a lot, you know, how to study and how to do this and how to do that. And so he asked me one day, would I like to speak to his church? Show him the joy that I had. And in the meantime, I had made several other guest appearances at other churches, you know, just telling my story and showing them the joy that I have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this led to that, and that led to that. And after we did that a couple of times, we did a real nice sermon one day on salt and light. I played the light, and he played the salt. And I noticed that people were listening, and that maybe I could relay a message to them through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gives me the words what to speak. And sooner than later, next thing you know, I was up on the pulpit on a Advent day, and I didn't know little or nothing about Advent, and I studied the Advent and made a sermon, and people were coming up and saying, man, we can see the joy, we can see that you were supposed to do this, and it just made me feel so good that I was getting the opportunity from Christ to speak about Christ to others and let them feel the joy that he has entered and put into my life. If we just are obedient and we put ourselves aside and put on the Lord's word, fill our hearts through the Bible, and the grace that he's given us is something we can't achieve. It's something he's given us, and why not? I thought, why not go along for the ride and do what we can do? Well, since then, I've been on the pulpit 5 or 6 times. I have scheduled July of this year, where I'll be in Abilene for 2 weeks, and then I'll come back to Hayesville and do another sermon for another pastor who will be leaving that church, and it will be on Father's Day. So I will have a Father's Day sermon. But throughout the day, the Lord has provided me with a job that I can go from place to place to place and talk and witness for the Lord daily, which I just love to do. I'd rather do that than work. And if I didn't have to work, who knows what I would be, a full-time evangelist or whatever. But for right now, he's got me in a comfortable spot. One of my Bible studies, we are working in James, and another one we're doing 1 John, teaching Sunday school on Exodus, and we are also, I'm reading in Jeremiah. After Jeremiah, I'll be going through the major and minor prophets of the Old Testament. So I've been trying to balance the Old Testament between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and just stay in the Word. because as being a Christian of under 6 or 7 years now, it might be somewhere around 5, is my word to all you people out there who don't know Christ, open up the Bible. It may seem hard to read, but there's only one way to live, and I believe we were predestined back in our mother's wombs that he knew what we were going to do, and all we have to do is surrender, let him guide our lives. This is much better way to live, because we have eternity to look forward to and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should stay focused on that and keep our priorities straight and remember that he died on the cross for us. And a man who had no sin whatsoever died for all of our sins, for past, present, and future. And we should live to the glory of his name. What do you think?
Good.